Dollar Radio Ranch in beautiful Sugar Land, Texas, where life truly is sweeter. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, February 6th, 2024. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
There yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. And we want to get things started here officially with
the Daily Datagram.
Yep, words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. Can you dig it? All right, this one here today says, a friend is one who knows who you are, understands where you've been, and accepts what you have become. And a best friend likes you anyway.
Good man.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of the blogcast, shall we?
Twisted history.
Come on.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Big stuff.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Uh-huh. But I wouldn't sweat it too much if I were you. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1959, Jack Kilby of Texas Instruments filed the first patent for an integrated circuit, which eventually led to a screen in every kid's face by the age of three. And it was on this day in 1988, Michael Jordan made his signature slam dunk from the free throw line, inspiring Air Jordan and the Jumpman logo. From that day forward, we all wanted to be like Mike. The Senate border bill has been unveiled. They unveiled it over the weekend. And once again, it's an insult to the American people. I would say particularly an insult to America's veterans, especially to America's diligent voters. I'm talking about the voters who go out every election and vote and make their voices heard. It's an insult. And the thing that really angers me about this is that it's a bipartisan group of senators who put this thing together, cobbled it together. And House Speaker Mike Johnson has already said it's dead on arrival in the House. Thank goodness. Now, during a January 28th appearance on CNN, Chris Murphy, Democrat of Connecticut, one of the negotiators, announced that a border deal had been reached. He was a little premature on that. Nearly a week later, lawmakers finally unveiled the text of this monstrosity, which is what it is. $118 billion. That's what's in this thing. $118 billion of our dollars, yours and mine. And it addresses, so they say, a wide variety of national security expenses, including funding for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, as well as provisions strengthening and funding border security. And you notice how they kind of did that as a throwaway line? Well, this $118 billion package addresses a wide array of national security expenses, including funding for Israel. I like that. They say including funding for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, as well as provisions strengthening the and funding border security, right? It's just a throwaway line at the end. Now, according to the Senate Appropriations Committee, listen to this. $60 billion is allocated to Ukraine, $14.1 billion for Israel, and $20 billion to implement the border security measures. Let me repeat the important parts of that to you. $60 billion to Ukraine, $20 billion to our border. Sounds a little anemic to me. Now, to be sure, there's been a lot of debate over border security, comprised the bulk of the negotiators' time when they were cobbling this thing together. Because Republicans were trying to gain stricter concessions on border security and Democrats sought less strict provisions. Because as we all know, the Democrats want anybody and everybody who wants to come into this country to come in, forget about the legality. Just come across the border. You want into the country, you got it. You want to change our Judeo-Christian culture, come on in. Just do it. Because we don't give a hoot in hell as Democrats about the Judeo-Christian culture. We don't give a hoot in hell about our Constitution. Now, you should know that this monstrosity was negotiated by Senators James Lankford of Oklahoma, he's a Republican, and Chris Murphy of Connecticut, a Democrat, and Kyrsten Sinema, the independent out of Arizona. And the package, if passed, would represent the largest border legislation in decades. But it is so wrong-headed. So the bill provides a new emergency authority for the Department of Homeland Security, you know, DHS, to restrict border crossings if an average of 4,000 daily encounters is hit over a one-week span. Now, how harebrained does that sound to you? 4,000 in a week, one-week span. 4,000 illegals. Just let them in. 4,000 each week. Any more than that? No. It's insane. So the way they put this together is if this threshold is reached, then the DHS secretary could shut down the border by denying illegal immigrants the ability to apply for asylum. Could. But do you really think Alejandro Mayorkas is going to shut the border down ever? Oh, it gets even worse. If average encounters reach 5,000 a day over a given week, then the DHS secretary is required to shut down the border. The deal also limits the president's parole authority, a power that gives the president the ability to allow more illegal immigrants into the country. And the deal raises the legal bar for the initial screening of asylum claims. It would also expedite the asylum processing time to 6 months from several years. I mean, granted, there are aspects of this bill that sound, okay. But they should only be a part of an all-new bill, because this thing, as written, as proposed, is a complete cluster. The package also doesn't include a restoration of former President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, which, of course, a lot of Republicans have said in the past that this is a must-have. So we go to the propaganda side of things. In a statement following the release of the text, Chuck Schumer, called it a monumental step towards strengthening America's national security abroad and along our borders. Well, right there, it shows you where his priorities are. He doesn't give a hoot in hell about the border. He's more interested in fighting Ukraine and propping up Israel. Now, I'm all for propping up Israel. I really am. I really do believe in that old proverb, any nation that turns its back on Israel is doomed. And look at this nation today. Look where we are today. We're not in a really good place, are we? So Schumer, in his rather verbose fashion, he always does this, he said, this is one of the most necessary and important pieces of legislation Congress has put forward in years to ensure America's future prosperity and security. Really? My God, what a blowhard. I have to wonder if he ever wakes up in the middle of the night, slaps his forehead with the palm of his hand and says, boy, I'm so full of gas. This story was already in the news yesterday morning, but my deadline for producing the Monday blogcast was already passed. But I do want to tell you about this because this has me rather suspicious, as it probably would you. But remember Killer Mike? We talked about him on yesterday's blogcast. He refused to endorse Joe Biden, much to the chagrin of Bill Maher on Bill Maher's show last Friday night. Well, old Killer Mike was detained at the Grammys right there at Crypto.com Arena in L.A. And this was on Sunday afternoon, only 2 hours after winning three of the four rap categories in the pre-show telecast. The pre-show telecast is the show that nobody saw. But according to a police source, some mouthpiece over there, shortly after 4 o'clock L.A. time, oh, by the way, his real name is Michael Render, but we'll call him Killer Mike. That's how he's known. Killer Mike was handcuffed and held following an alleged physical altercation inside the arena involving a third party. Now, Render was questioned. Killer Mike was questioned, according to the source, and any prospective arrest would be determined by whether that third person, that third party, wishes to bring charges. But there is an investigation ongoing. Now, Chris Gardner, the Hollywood Reporter, obtained a video of Killer Mike getting handcuffed and hauled away. According to Gardner, an official claimed the arrest was for an unnamed misdemeanor unrelated to anything that happened at the Grammys on Sunday. And as reported by this guy, Chris Gardner, quote, rapper Killer Mike has been taken away in handcuffs in Crypto.com Arena after winning 3 Grammys during a telecast. Best Rap Song and Best Rap Performance for Scientists and Engineers, Best Rap Album for Michael. Free Mike, someone shouts as he walks past. Now, the detention happened immediately after Mike went to the press area to answer some questions about his win, because he was in a good mood. He was pumped. He was happy that this to have finally been recognized after more than 20 years in the hip-hop industry. He said, "It feels absolutely grand. Feels like some people are reaching the finish line first. Don't worry. Just keep running your race. The only thing stopping you is your imagination. It's our responsibility to be grand in every action." I like that. And he was hauled away. So, if you believe in coincidences, you know, which I don't. Not generally. Okay, if I run into a neighbor of mine at the airport, which is an hour's drive from my home here in Sugar Land, that's a coincidence. Something like this, I'm not so sure. Because I will never forget Bill Maher's reaction. He could not believe that Killer Mike was unwilling to endorse Joe Biden over Donald Trump. Of course, I went into a long rant about Maher in yesterday's blogcast. You can go back and listen to that if you haven't heard it yet. But I just find it rather ludicrous that somebody seemingly so brilliant, so smart, perhaps even a genius like Bill Maher, doesn't understand the damage that this bastard Joe Biden, under the direction of Barack Obama, is doing to this country. And I think the problem is Bill Maher gets paid too damn much. He doesn't have to live in the world that these damn politicians are creating for us. And of course, a lot of the fault goes on our shoulders, too, because we're voting for the wrong people. How in the hell did Joe Biden end up in the White House? Well, I think it was fraud. And if it really was fraud that got him into the White House, we had little to do with that. So I'm not beating you up, believe me. But this whole idea that there are people that find it ludicrous that anybody would endorse Donald Trump over Joe Biden, I mean, that's about as wrong-headed as human reasoning can allow. I just don't understand that. I mean, I can think of some lousy presidents we've had in the past that I would endorse over Joe Biden. Maybe not Jimmy Carter. But, you know, when I think of my lifetime, you know, I'm a baby boomer, born in 48. When I think of my lifetime, we have had far more lousy presidents in my lifetime than we've had good ones. In fact, we've had far more lousy presidents during the history of the United States than we've had good ones. The really good ones only come down to a handful. And we really need a good one. In my lifetime, the really good ones have been Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump. And I will concede this. Bill Clinton wasn't that bad. Yeah, he was, you know, he was a sexist. He's got his problems in that department. But he knew how to play ball with the Republicans. It was said more than once during his 2 terms in office that Bill Clinton was the best friend the Republicans ever had. And we had a good economy because of it. But it's really sad when you think about it. We have far more lousy presidents in this country than we have good ones. And I hate to break the news to you. That's a reflection on you and me. I don't know if you saw the get-together of all the governors down there on the Texas border over the weekend, but it was a great display. And several governors couldn't be there, which is understandable, of course. DeSantis wasn't there. But he held a little press conference of his own, and the centerpiece of it was a big placard that said, "Stop the Invasion." And he announced plans to deploy even more National Guard, State Guard, and Highway Patrol officers to assist Texas in securing its southern border and ending the flow of illegal immigration from Mexico. He said, this was a couple of days ago over there in Jacksonville. He said, "If we don't have a border, then we're not a sovereign country," which of course is true. Anybody with even just a rudimentary knowledge of government understands this. He says, "You either have a border or you don't. You're either a sovereign country or you're not." Then he continued. He said, "So what we're doing here today is we're stepping up yet again. We're helping, and I know other states have done a lot, and I'm pretty sure some of these other states are going to do more." So Florida is now set to deploy members of its own state guard and up to a full battalion of its National Guard, which is approximately 1,000 soldiers. So Florida State Guard Director Mark Thieme said, "Since reactivation of the Florida State Guard, our soldiers have been trained and credentialed in emergency response and public safety and humanitarian assistance operations. Our response to the governor's call in support of Texas is deeply rooted in our unwavering commitment to support public safety in times of need. This is in addition to the more than 90 officers already there representing the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the Florida Highway Patrol, and the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission." Wow, even got them into that, huh? He says, "This is not a new mission for us. For several years, we've supported border security in Texas to include both federal and state deployments." Oh, and by the way, that was a statement attributed to Major General John Hass, who's the Adjutant General of Florida. So you have a coalition now of 27 states that has committed to supporting Texas' right to defend itself after the Supreme Court ruled that Border Patrol agents can remove the razor wire preventing the flow of illegals from Mexico. Now, again, let me emphasize that what the Supreme Court did not prohibit Texas from laying down more razor wire. The Supreme Court just gave the federal government the go-ahead to remove the razor wire or cut it if they so desire. But if they're going to do that, they have to get through our people first, say. And I don't know, It's absurd, this entire border question, because every time Karine Jean-Pierre gets up behind that podium and says, "Well, the president's waiting on legislation." The president doesn't need legislation to secure the border. All the president has to do is say, "Secure the border." And it should be done. But instead, these frauds who make up the Democrat Party are claiming and hoping that you're gullible enough to believe that, well, we have to have special legislation in order to shut down the border. We can't just willy-nilly go shutting down the border. That's illegal. No, it is not. It's illegal to keep the border open under these circumstances. Now, if we want an open border, we can have that too. That's how flexible our Constitution is. And for many, many years, we had open borders. Our borders consisted of no razor wire, no fences, nothing. Just a couple of points of entry, and that's all we used to get. A few people. But now we're getting them by the millions? Estimates are running anywhere between 8 and 12 million illegals in this country since Joe Biden took the White House. That does nobody any good. So anyhow, getting back to Florida, they've been directly assisting Texas to secure our border here. They deployed more than 700 members up to this point of Florida's National Guard, as well as 540 personnel, 525 four-wheel drive patrol trucks, and 24 vessels from Fish and Wildlife over there. So there's a lot of people, a lot of property from Florida patrolling our waters along the Rio Grande. And the governor's office over there in Florida reports that in that time frame, Florida Highway Patrol officers have made contact with nearly, are you sitting down, 150,000 illegal aliens. And this has been conducted over 27,000, or they have conducted over 27,000 traffic stops, resulting in 2,100 human smuggling or human trafficking charges, with 2,278 overall arrests. More than 10 million illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, have reportedly crossed the border since Joe Biden took office. So, those are the ones we know about. How many that we don't know about? So anyhow, Governor DeSantis said, you're going to have more Florida folks there because I think this is an American issue. I don't think it's one state's issue, and I think we have to do the right thing here. So I'm proud of what all these folks from Florida have done over these last couple of years, and I'm proud of what they're going to do. Joe Biden's numbers are not good. And believe me, that is an understatement. Well, back on Sunday, NBC News broke down the latest poll showing former President Trump with the biggest lead he's ever had over President Biden, according to election analyst Steve Kornacki. He appeared with NBC's Kristen Welker, who walked through the latest results of an NBC News survey conducted by Hart Research Associates and Public Opinion Strategies.
These are some truly stunning numbers.
They really are, Kristen. And let's just start with the bottom line. When you ask folks, hey, if it's the general election and it's Trump versus Biden, in our poll, Donald Trump now leads Joe Biden by 5 points. Compare that to the last time we polled back in November. Trump was ahead then, but it was only by 2 points. And it's even more significant when you look at it this way. Over time, we have been testing for 5 years now, going back to 2019, a Biden-Trump matchup. Remember, 2019, 2020, Joe Biden. Biden led. He led big in every single one of our polls. For the first time in November, Donald Trump polled ahead in our poll, and now at 5 points, this is the biggest lead NBC has ever had in 16 polls for Donald Trump over Joe Biden. And of course, undergirding all of this is this question of, he's the incumbent, Joe Biden. We ask voters, what do you think of the job he's doing? And look at that, Kristen, 37% approve, and now 60% disapprove.
And we should say that is the lowest approval rating since former President George W. Bush's second term.
Naturally, the people at NBC are very upset over this. I mean, they're having conniptions in private, but not always in private. Oh my God. I mean, the network has just gone absolutely bonkers. And they have somebody in the news department named Mark Murray, and he provided a little more analysis of the survey results that you just heard. And he said that Biden trails GOP presidential front runner Donald Trump on major policy and personal comparisons, including by more than 20 points on which candidate would better handle the economy, and Biden's deficit versus Trump on handling immigration and the border is greater than 30 points. 30 points in a poll, that is not good. And Murray also said that the poll also shows Trump holding a 16-point advantage over Biden on being competent and effective, a reversal from 2020 when Biden was ahead of Trump on this particular quantity or quality by 9 points before defeating him in that election. He also went on to say that Biden's approval rating has declined to the lowest level of his presidency in NBC News polling, 37%, while fewer than 3 in 10 voters approve of his handling of the Israel-Hamas war. Altogether, these numbers explain why the poll shows Trump leading Biden by 5 points. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that that's all it is. Just 5 measly points, really? Are people in this country not paying attention? Probably not, because they're busy working three jobs to make ends meet. But this polling information, by the way, is among registered voters in a hypothetical 2024 general election matchup, 47% to 42%. So while the results within the poll's margin of error, the last year of polling shows a clear shift. Well, all it took was living under Joe Biden's administration for the last 3 years to make that crystal clear to the American voters that what happened in 2020 was an egregious mistake. The survey reveals a presidency in peril, according to Democrat pollster Jeff Horwitt of Hart Research Associates. Now, see, they're the ones that conducted the survey, and this is why you have only a margin of 5% between Trump and Biden, because it's a bunch of Democrats who conducted the survey. That's why I don't trust polls. Because if you don't know who the people are who are conducting the polls, then really placing your trust in the information that you're getting in any given poll, I don't care if it's a Republican poll or a Democrat poll, all you're getting really is just smoke and mirrors. Now, is Trump ahead? Do I really believe that Trump is ahead? Yes, I do. But I think he's ahead by far more than just 5 percentage points. Maybe I'm wrong. But no matter how you look at it, this presidency of Joe Biden's is about to go down. And I think the Democrats know it, which is why I think that they have a plan. And we may find something as early as March, maybe not until May. But there is a plan on the part of the Democrats to do something about the fact that Donald Trump is trouncing them. Now, is that plan really Michelle Obama? I don't know. Who knows? But again, I want to issue that warning. The Democrats are going to do anything and everything they can to prevent Donald Trump from showing up on the ballot. And I don't think that they would stop at assassination. On that cheerful note, let's move on over to the Comedy Corner and Cam Bertrand.
I hate my best friend. He's stupid. I don't like him. You ever been friends with somebody that you don't want to be friends with anymore, but they're just grandfathered in? You know what I mean? Like, you want to fire him, but he's got tenure? And you're like, oh, man. So I can't get rid of him. He knew me back when I had braces and wore JNCO jeans. He knows too much. He knew me when I purchased an Aaron Carter CD. I can't stop being his friend now. He keeps my secrets. We get into a lot of dumb arguments. Arguments that don't matter. Things that shouldn't happen. Right? One of the dumbest arguments we ever got into was we were watching a basketball game, and in the third quarter, LeBron James had missed a dunk. He looked over at me, and he goes, "Ha! LeBron James sucks!" I don't know how much you all know about LeBron James, but LeBron James got drafted out of high school at 17 years old. He was the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. He signed a $95 million contract with Nike, three-time NBA champion, four-time league MVP, youngest player to score 35,000 points ever. My friend Daryl has failed his driver's test four times. Four whole times. Daryl sucks, okay? Yeah. Yep. I didn't even know you got to take the test four times. I thought after you failed the second time, they were like, hey, you know what? Here's a $50 Uber credit. You don't get to drive anymore. You're a danger to society. He's a dummy. He asks me questions all the time that make me reevaluate my friendship with him. Does that ever happen to you where you're like, how bad do I need you in my life? Or you just gotta weigh the pros and cons? This is what he asked me most recently. He goes, Cam, we're friends, right? I was like, of course we're friends. He goes, would you take a bullet for me? I was like, from a gun? Are there bullets I'm unaware of? First of all, you're overly confident in my ability to take a bullet. I'm built like drywall. Whoever's behind me is still gonna die. I'm not taking anything. Like shooting a ghost. Do you know how mad I'd be if I tried to be a good person and take a bullet for somebody and be like, I'm a hero, and they still died? I'd be like, I'm a good person. Did you still die? I could have just not got shot. Could have just grieved you.
That'll do it. Make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.